Welcome again, everyone, to another exciting episode of Are You Not Kentertained? This is episode 50, and today's date is June 2nd, 2017. I am your host, Carrie, and as always, I am joined by the only tag team Dr. Shelby couldn't save, Kent and Russell. How are you guys doing tonight? Are you excited for our 50th episode?
50 episodes. You think that's a big deal? And it is. 50 episodes that nobody's listened to.
Wow, that's so true.
Well, 50 Kent approves of 50 episodes.
Yes, 50 Kent does approve of the 50th episode. That's good. You know, we've lasted almost a full year now, haven't we?
Yeah, and now the question is, do we celebrate the 92nd podcast or the 100th? And I'm pretty sure it's just going to be the 92nd. It's
got to be the 92nd.
I was just going to say that. I'm in agreement with that. We have to do this something special for the 92nd episode.
Yes. And Russ and I will play strip poker.
Yes. Do we really have to wait till the 92nd episode to play? Can we just practice until then?
We can rehearse until our pants fall off.
Yes. All right. I'm in. Let's do it.
All right. So, listeners, whether it's your first time with us or if you're joining us again this week, the three of us recap and discuss the week in pro wrestling. However, this week, in honor of our 50th episode, we'll be switching things up a bit. This week, instead of our normal weekly recaps, we'll be discussing our picks for the top 10 superstars of the WrestleMania era. In addition to that, we will also bring you our normal fun weekly segments and our picks for this weekend's Extreme Rules pay-per-view. All right, guys, before we start our top 10 list, let's get a quick word from our special episode sponsor. And that special episode sponsor is What's Grinding Our Gears This Week? So, which one of us would like to kick off their rant?
I will. I'll definitely do it.
Go ahead, Russ.
All right, so here's my rant. Here's my problem. My problem is this. When you purchase a house, it's always important to make sure that everything works properly. Now, I purchased this house a long time ago, but I didn't check the plumbing very well. And normally, this episode would have been done on May 31st, but we had to postpone it thanks to me and my stupid house. So what happened was this. We were simply coming home, nice, no big deal. And I come home, and my wife goes, oh, well, my faucet sink is dripping a little bit too much. And I'm like, okay, let me take care of it, because I'm the man. I looked at it, I figured out what the problem is. And I'm like, oh, I think I can fix this. There's my mistake. Don't think you can fix things, okay? Because when you think you can fix things, you screw them up. And I screwed up big time. All right? And what I did was, I was like, I can fix this. So I went to go try to fix it like a normal person. But the person who built this house really, really fucked up the plumbing, okay? There is absolutely no shutoff valve for any of our water except for in one place, and it's a pain in the ass to get to. So I went and I tried to fix it. And instead of fixing the faucet, I broke it worse. And it wouldn't shut off the water. So it would continually stream out. Now, this wouldn't be such a big deal if it was the cold water, but it was the hot water. All right, let me tell you something. The hot water will ruin everything because it will break my hot water heater and everything. So now I'm really angry because I broke it and it's pouring out water. So I got to go turn off the water. The only way to turn off the water is if I turn off all the water in the house instead of just that one area. So screw you, person who built my house. Put some goddamn faucets on the next time I buy my house at every single one of the water faucets. That's what's grinding my gears.
You know, I think Bray Wyatt had the same issue in April, and that's why him and Orton had that House of Horrors match. Pretty sure I heard him say this on a podcast, so you're not alone, Russ.
I know. Thank you. I knew there was a way to tie it into wrestling somehow.
Hey, Russ, as a homeowner, I can sympathize with you. Anytime there's an issue with the house, I sympathize with you.
So bad. You know what the worst part is, though? We called for a plumber, and that's the reason why we couldn't do the show, because the plumber said he'd be there. Guess who didn't show up?
Bray Wyatt.
That's right, Bray Wyatt.
I say Yelp review or Angie's List review for that guy. Well, since we're on the topic of rants, I actually had one this week, and you guys know I don't complain that often.
Never. I've never heard you complain once in my life.
All right.
And you're married to Eric.
I know. There should be complaints all the time.
This is true. This is true. So this week, my rant kind of came to me when I was sitting in my cubicle at work. And for our listeners who work in an office and work in a cubicle, you probably can relate to the rant that I'm about to go on. My rant has to do with people who talk on the speakerphone with their office door open very loudly. So basically, you hear the other person just yelling through the phone on speaker. I mean, what kind of self-absorbed douche do you have to be to do that? Nobody wants to hear your phone conversation. Are you that lazy to lift up the damn phone handle thingy?
The reception.
Thank you.
The receiver. The receiver.
I'm sorry, angry can't think. But this is, I mean, I'm trying to concentrate on my work and get things done, and I have to listen to you go back and forth, not even discussing work, but discussing personal crap. I don't care. And in light of that, that's what's grinding my gears this week, guys.
I'm pretty sure Vince McMahon had the issue, and he was trying to give away his millions of dollars, and that one person called and would not talk to Vince. He's like, I want to give you money, but nobody wanted it.
That's true.
That's my guess.
Again, Kent's masterful turning it into wrestling.
Yeah, he really needs to teach us how he does that.
That's true.
I listen to the last sentence of what you say.
Ignores all else, just listens to the last sentence.
Makes sense. All right, guys, so should we go ahead and get started?
Let's do it.
All right. So I think we decided I was going to go first, so.
So, all right. Well, then if Carrie's going to go first, I guess I will take over hosting duties for her. So, all right. So what we're going to do is we're going to go give us your top 10 for your top 10 greatest wrestling guys in WrestleMania era. I'm doing awesome too. So, all right, let's start.
Wow, this is going so well. Good job.
I know. All right, so let's start out simply with, we'll do top 10. Carrie's going to do her top 10. We'll start with 10, go down to 1, and I think we want to let her explain, and then we want to critique, or do we want to let her go through all of it? I think we'll do that.
Let her go through all of it, and then we can ask our questions. All
right, sounds good. So, Carrie, give us number 10.
All right, number 10 on my top 10 list is none other than Chris Jericho. Then, for my 8 and number 9 spot, I had a tie. The reason being, they were one of the greatest women's rivalries of the WrestleMania era. I'm talking about Trish Stratus and Lita, who are tied at, well, 9 or 8. Number 7, I have The Rock. Number 6, I have Triple H. Number 5, I have HBK, or Shawn Michaels. Number 4, I have Stone Cold Steve Austin. Number 3, John Cena. Number 2, Undertaker. And number 1, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask the obvious question.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Lita over... over, like, hundreds of other people, including Chris Jericho, Lita. Hey, normally, I'm not terribly mean-spirited on this, unless it's towards Russ, but have you watched a Lita match, is my question.
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, I wanted to throw some women in there. I felt that women should be represented on this list. And really,
I agree, and you picked a good one with Trish.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was going to say, Trish, I am for 100%. That's what I was just about to say. I'm 100% for Trish. Lita, I wouldn't even give her a top 200. I understand where you're going with it. I got it, but no. Trish Stratus, okay. Lita, no.
Yeah. Do you have a question, Russ?
I did. I was interested in to see why you chose Hulk Hogan as number one. I get him in the top 5, definitely. I'm just curious why you chose him as number one.
Well, if you think about it, WWE didn't become relevant until WrestleMania and basically the emergence of Hulk Hogan. We wouldn't have the conversations that we're having right now if it wasn't for the stuff that Hulk Hogan did during his time with the company and since then. He's still the most recognizable wrestler. Well, former wrestler now. For the entire company.
Okay, alright. No, I agree with you. He's still basically the face of wrestling in a lot of ways. I would like to know why Sean got, I don't know, would you have him at like 5 or something like that?
I had him at 5.
Wow. Good for Kent. Russ is frozen. That's cool. Why is Sean so high and Brett not even there?
I just felt that really Shawn Michaels did more for the company. Not just his, you know, title reigns and stuff like that, but I mean, he was essential to the Monday Night Wars. Him, Triple H, all of DX. I mean, I really watched the heck out of the Monday Night Wars documentary. So that's where really all my backup and reasoning comes from.
Okay. Russ? Guy next?
No, I mean, you're definitely good. With Jericho at 10, what was... Well, I'm just trying to think. Like, with Jericho at 10, why do you think he deserves... in the top 10, your view of it. I think he's definitely a top 10 because he's in my list, but I'm curious what you thought.
Well, I feel his career has basically transcended almost decades at this point. I mean, he was a must-see superstar when he debuted during the Monday Night Wars, and he still is today. He has transcended from that time period to today's time period. And really, that was my main reasoning why I felt he should be in the top 10. He's just continuously has reinvented himself to remain relevant.
Fair enough. That's kind of one of my reasons. So good job.
All right. I would like to know, I noticed at least a couple of names that were not on the list. So the one that I'm really questioning is, where was Lita's boyfriend, the Rated R Superstar, Edge?
All right, so this is a funny, kind of funny story, and possibly.
Okay.
And I allude to this in the blog. You can read that at 9deuce.com/wrestling. So I was on the train Wednesday night on my way home from work. For the listeners, I work in downtown Washington, D.C. So I'm on the train coming home and looking over my top 10 list. And I realized there was a glaring error. Or actually, maybe I was making edits to the blog. And I think I was making edits to my part of the blog. And I realized, because I was writing about Chris Jericho. And then I started thinking about his career, thinking about the impact that he made. And I'm like, well, I have to put him on my top 10. And I felt bad about dropping Edge off. I mean, he deserves to be in the top 10 as well. But I had to go with Jericho there. Like, the reasoning in my head was why I did it.
I think there's a lot we're going to be doing that. Because there's a bunch of guys I really was like, this was hard. Let's go that route. It was really hard to choose 10. If we did 15, I think I would have been no problems at all. The 10 made it...
13 is where it was easy.
Yeah.
13 was easy. 10 was hard as hell.
That's one of the things I thought. It was like, wow, we really... I'm glad we did it this way because it makes it a little bit more cutthroat when you come to think about it. It was just so hard. I was just like, man, if I had 15, I have my 15. Right now, there's no questions. It's easy. But yeah, with 10, I was like, who do I cut out? Who's great that I got to cut out that I don't want to?
Do you have any other questions, Russ?
No, I thought it was a pretty decent list.
All right. I mean, I have another question, because there was one other natural name that I did not hear, a certain nature boy. Ric Flair.
Nature.
I mean, he's considered one of the all-time greats. Every Hall of Fame speech pretty much ever somehow includes Ric Flair in it. So just wondering how he didn't make it over Lita.
Again, I wanted to go with women. I felt women deserved to be on the list.
Trish Stratus deserves to be on the list. Lita. No. No.
Woo!
All right. So maybe I made a bad judgment call there. I have.
Oh, no, we was just asking questions. We just asked the questions here. No judging.
It's your list.
I mean, I have Flair at 12. I don't know. I kind of went with, for this list, I went with, like, strictly WWE superstars.
Oh,
I
mean, that's perfectly fine.
So, that's my explanation.
No, okay. That's good. It was weird with the lead apart. I'm perfectly fine with your list. In fact, there's a couple I definitely agree with. So.
Yeah, this is a good thing to have variances on this list.
Oh, yeah. If we all have the same list in the same exact order, it would be the dumbest thing we've ever done, probably.
Absolutely.
But would it be dumber than Old Day?
It would be dumber than Old Day, but not quite as dumb as Bailey, This Is Your Life.
I am so glad I did not watch that.
Oh, my God. That was bad. I've seen bad. I'll give Alexa all the credit in the world. She couldn't fix that. Nobody. I don't think The Rock could fix that.
No. No, there was no fixing that. That was unfixable. No.
Yeah, it was bad. We'll come back to that later.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. So let's go ahead and move on to, say, Russ's top 10. What do you think, guys?
Sounds good to me. And now I've got to make a tough decision. Okay, so my top 10 is going to be, it's going to be similar to Carrie's and probably similar to Kent's, but I'm going to give a little bit of explanation about each of my choices. All right, number 10. Okay, so number 10, this is my hardest choice because I had to cut out two people I really think deserve it. I'll give you the three choices and I'll tell you who I chose. My three choices for 10 were HBK, Mick Foley, or Bret Hart. So those are my three choices, and I just wasn't sure who to knock it down to. In fact, it took all the way up until right about now, and I'm going to finally say it. I'm going to put, and I really hate doing this, Mick Foley at 10. Not that I hate doing it. I think he definitely deserves being in the top 10. It's just HBK and Bret, they did so much for WWE and wrestling together. And Mick Foley did a lot, too. He really brought the brought Extreme to the mainstream. I thought he really, some of his best matches are what really made me fall in love with wrestling. So I had to put him over Foley and HBK. Not that HBK did anything wrong. It just, none of his matches really made me go, oh my God, I love wrestling. This is the best thing in the world. And that's not his fault, obviously, because when he was around, I wasn't as big a fan. Bret, he's a douche. I never really liked Bret, so screw him. He can get kicked off my list. Not saying he doesn't deserve top 15, but screw him. All right. Number 9 is Chris Jericho. Similar to what Carrie was saying, one of the very few people who continually tinkers with his character to keep himself relevant. All right? And that's one of the things. A lot of people should really learn this. Keep yourself relevant. He has won every significant title in WWE. He has the current record for the IC title reigns at 9, and he's the first undisputed champion WWE, and he beat The Rock in Austin for that honor. It's a lot of good stuff that Jericho did, so Jericho is my number 9. Number 8, I put Edge. I didn't know this until I started doing a little bit of research, but Edge has held the most titles in WWE history. I was kind of shocked by that, I won't lie. Also, he actually got his name from a local station from us in our area, The Edge. And I like that, so why not? And it was one of my favorite stations back in the day. He gave me my first holy shit match, and it secured my fandom for life. And this is one of the reasons he's on this list, and pretty high on it, too. It was the No Mercy 1999 ladder match versus the New Brood, or the Hardy Boys, or Hardly Boys. And honestly, he's part of some of the funniest promos I've seen in my life. So, number 8 is Edge. Number 7, Ric Flair. Woo! Gotta give Ric Flair credit. Now, I've never been a huge Ric Flair proponent, but when most of the people in the business and most people outside the business consider him to be the best wrestler of all time, you gotta give the man his due. He's won a lot of championships. It's 16. He's still tied for the record of most world titles. It'll be broken, but it's still impressive. All right. Also, most iconic. I mean, is there not a night where you hear woo if a slap is ever done? Always a woo. So you got to give something to that because people know it, period. He did most of his best work pre-Mania, probably, but he is that good. All right. Number 6 is The Rock. Okay, probably the most successful wrestler outside of wrestling. In fact, there's probably no even probably about it. He is super popular with the fans. Big time, hilarious, some of the best promos of all time, and he really helped catapult WWE into the mainstream and a pop culture phenomenon. Tons and tons of catchphrases that we still know and still love. Yes, a little bit repetitive, especially now. He doesn't really try to get anything new, so still a little bit repetitive, but still, good stuff. He headlined 7 WrestleManias. The other thing I really like about him, this is why I kind of put him up higher than some people, he seems still really down to earth, a genuine nice person. And that's really, honestly, a big plus for me. He's a good person, even though fame is just, you know, he's been very famous. He's very famous. All right, this is where I started tinkering a little bit, because I first had Stone Cold Steve Austin at number 1, but now he's at number 5. He was at number 1 for me at first because he's really kind of the reason I started watching wrestling. But I don't honestly think he should be number 1. So I took him off of it because this is where I started to waver a little bit. But Stone Cold Steve Austin, without him and the Attitude Era, we probably wouldn't be having a WrestleMania anymore, period. Unless WCW picked it up. And then they'd ruin it anyway because they suck with wrestlers. So we probably wouldn't be talking about wrestling right now. We probably wouldn't even have this podcast. One of the most popular superstars in wrestling history, personally got me started in wrestling, and honestly, part of the WWE's best storytelling period. Not the best, but one of the best stories ever given to us, definitely. My cat is meowing at me. All right, number 4, I put Hulk Hogan. And here's the reason he's on number 4. Some people might be a little bit shocked he's so low on my list, not in the top 3. Hulk Hogan, he's responsible for helping wrestling jump out of obscurity to mainstream, so I'll give him that credit. You have to give him that credit. He is one of the most recognizable people in the world for wrestling. He is very charismatic. Very charismatic. Had a semi-successful career in Hollywood, but honestly, this is the reasons why I didn't put him so high. He held guys down like nobody's business. If he didn't like you, forget it. You were done with wrestling, in at least the WWE and then WCW or wherever. You were done with wrestling. And he's just not a very nice person outside of wrestling, it seems to me. Number 3, I'm going to give this one to John Cena. All right, again, John Cena, one of the greatest things about him is he has a record-tying 16 world championships, has been the top guy for over a decade. That takes a lot of skill. He truly loves wrestling. He has an amazing work ethic. Huge heart. I think he's granted more make-a-wishes than anyone. I believe it's still double, if not more, than the next person. Last time I checked, is he over 500 now? Does anybody know? Because the last thing I saw was he was at 500.
I don't know the exact number, but yeah, he's lapped people.
Okay, yeah. It's ridiculous. The next closest is Justin Bieber at 250, and John Cena's over 500. You can't go wrong with that. That's amazing. And it gives wrestling a great name. Has held wrestlers down, yes. But overall, he wants wrestling to be successful, not just for himself, and that's something you can really give him for it. He is hated by a lot of the fans for holding other wrestlers down and not relinquishing his role as the leader, but he carries himself respectably, and lately he's done amazing thing for the wrestling. Some of his matches in the last 2 years have been phenomenal. All right, my number two guy is The Undertaker. I honestly don't think there needs to be an explanation why Undertaker is number two. The WrestleMania streak, his dedication to WWE itself and not leaving even when it looked like it was a sinking ship. His dedication to Vince, he's a really great guy. Never breaking character, really. I mean, I've never really heard him outside of wrestling doing any promos or anything. Whenever I see Taker, he's always in character. And that takes a lot of skill, I guess. I'm not sure if it's skill, but it takes a lot of patience to be able to stay in character and not jump out of it. Also, let's not forget, he's had some of the greatest matches we've seen. He's been in a lot of great matches, and he is a locker general. People look to him when they need help, and he is more than happy to give it to people, and that's great about Taker. Now, my number one, I think, is probably my most controversial, but it's Triple H. I chose Triple H as number one because I'm not just thinking of what he's done in the past. I'm thinking about what he's doing for the future. Well, first of all, not only was he a great wrestler from the Attitude Era in the early 2000s, he is securing wrestling's future with NXT. And the way he's doing it, we all love NXT for a lot of the things that are done. And that's Triple H's baby. We are just basically waiting for Vince now to either relinquish control or whatever. But Triple H is doing everything we can to keep the fans that actually love wrestling loving wrestling, and I think that is the biggest thing that they can do for us. So I gave number one to Triple H. I honestly think he is one of the most important wrestlers to this right WrestleMania era. And that's my list.
Good.
Silence. I moved you guys to tears.
I am just trying to digest all that and see where I want to dig in. I mean, I agree with your number one pick. I mean, for the reasons you laid out, I mean, you know, looking back at my list, I almost think maybe Triple H should have been higher on mine, considering, well, I mean, what he's doing for the business right now in terms of what... I mean, he's continuously has been doing something for the business, if you think about it. I mean, with DX, DX was kind of almost his idea, if I remember correctly. And Vince told him to run with it. And that ended up, you know, being one of the things that saved them, you know, basically saved WWE during the Monday Night Wars. And then now, because, I mean, yes, I know he's the son-in-law, the boss, blah, blah, blah. But he has done some great things with NXT.
Oh, that's what I forgot. The other reason I put him at number one. He married a woman in a drive-thru and just put his hand over her mouth and said, I do for her. You can't lose with that. That's number one material right there.
True. So, Kent, what did you think?
You're getting no arguments. But here's something that stuck out in my head. And I really need you to explain yourself. Okay. One of the reasons you knocked Hulk Hogan down was because he fucked people over, he buried people, yet Mr. Number One is the guy with a sledgehammer and a shovel. Can you please elaborate how that happened?
Okay, yes. I knew I was going to catch a little slack for this one because Triple H is notorious for holding people or burying them. So you're right, he is. But I'm also thinking he's... Like, Hulk Hogan, he's not doing anything to secure the future of wrestling. And that's where I started thinking, like, that's the difference between Hogan and Triple H. Because at first, I'll be honest with you, I had Triple H at 4 and Hogan at 3 at the beginning when I first started. And then I started thinking about it. And I know I was like, ah, man, if Hogan, I put him down because of the burying, then if I put Triple H at first, I got to really think, is the future of wrestling, for what he's doing for the future of wrestling, is it that good? And yeah, I honestly think what he's doing for the future of wrestling is that good to put him at the most influential guy.
Okay.
I just need that explanation.
Yeah, no, I understand. I knew I was going to catch some flack for it. I'm surprised. I thought Carrie might hit it, but no, you hit it. It's good.
I gave her the opportunity to hit it in the morning.
Yeah, I didn't even pick up on that.
That's all right. Don't worry about it. I was pretty thorough with my list.
Yeah, and as a result, I don't know if I have any further questions for you, Russ. Anything for you, Kent? More for you, Kent?
Of course I do. Foley at number 10 over Sean and Brett. Just curious how Foley, a guy who was basically made by guys like Taker, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, how did he manage to get number 10 when guys like Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart were making people?
Yes, okay. And this is where personal preference came in. This was hard for me because honestly, if push comes to shove, probably HBK deserves the 10 spot. It was between those two for a long time, and I'm just like, oh, who do I want to give it to? Personal preference. HBK, while great, definitely, and definitely you can definitely argue his 10 spot. He never really had any matches for me where I went, wow, I am glad I'm a wrestling fan right now. And Foley's had it.
So against Kurt Angle, like, first of all, you didn't even mention Kurt Angle, but Kurt Angle versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania. Triple H versus Shawn Michaels is some of the bloodbaths. Shawn Michaels versus Jericho at WrestleMania.
Great matches, you're right, and I love those matches. It's just
Foley versus HBK, yeah, Mind Games, yeah, one of the greatest. If Eric was listening right now, he would be psyched for that reference.
Yeah. I know, it was close. HBK's 11 now. I officially made it official, but when it comes to Foley or HBK, I think of Foley and enjoy more. Just think of I can remember more of his stuff in my head than I can for HBK, and that's where it went down. And of course, HBK, you can argue definitely in the top 10 easily. And in fact, I wanted to put him in there, but then I'd have to take someone else out. And I was like, oh, I love this list. I really don't want to. So it was really, this was hard. I told you, this was hard.
If I'd been you, Russ, I would respond with saying Mick Foley winning the world championship was the turning point in the Attitude Era and the Monday
Night. It really was, too, wasn't it? That's almost exactly the moment.
That probably would have been the answer, and it would have shut me up instead of me antagonizing you more.
Well, the other thing is, too, with I was going to say, the other thing with Foley, though, is that he seems like a genuinely nice guy, too, where HBK kind of, I mean, he seems like a nice guy, too, but he does have that dickish.
There's two HBKs. There's pre-Jesus and after Jesus.
Right.
But also, Foley did give us Holy Foley.
Yes, and that's disastrous.
Come on, that should deduct some points, should it not?
That's why he's not in the lower end here. Come on. That was, oh my God, Holy Foley. Holy crap. All right. Any other questions, Kent?
Nah, you're clean.
Okay.
All right, then. Let's go ahead and close this one out, shall we, guys? Kent, hit us with your top 10.
Okay. So, first off, I want to start by saying The Rock didn't make my top 10. And since I know I'm going to get asked why The Rock didn't make my top 10, allow me to explain right now. Yes, he did main event some WrestleManias, but three of those were against Austin, two of those were against Cena, and really, only one of those matches were great. And he also had that four-way at WrestleMania 2000, which was a really bad main event. The Rock is probably the poster child for overrated wrestlers. And that's not to take away anything from probably being one of the top five, probably top three greatest on the mic. But his repetition does hurt him some. His short wrestling career hurts him a great deal. His impact on wrestling hurts him a great deal. He did work up the food chain, but it wasn't a very long climb. It was like a 2-year climb. He helped with Triple H getting made. Him and Triple H both kind of helped make each other, but The Rock never... I don't want to say he never gave back to the business, but the reality is he didn't stay around long enough to help make anybody, really. And for all these reasons, as much as I love The Rock, he does not hit my top 10 list, and I just wanted to toss out there before I took a bunch of shit. Also, Bret Hart does not make my top 10 list, and I know if Steve was here right now, Steve had told me he was probably going to put Bret in his top 5, and there's a lot of good reasons for Bret, in the fact that without Bret, we don't have Stone Cold Steve Austin. He helped make Austin at WrestleMania 13. Without Bret Hart, we don't have the Mr. McMahon character because of the whole Bret screwed Bret and Vince screwed Bret thing. That created the greatest single heel in wrestling history. With that being said, it wasn't really because, like, Bret was some fucking god. Yeah, he was pretty good in the ring. He didn't hurt people, but his matches tended to be a little bit boring. He did defect to WCW, and then he got taken out by Goldberg, of all people. So anytime you lose your career to Goldberg, you're not making my top 10. So that's what I need to say. As for my top 10, number 10, I have Sting. Nobody had Sting. I don't get it. Fucking millennials. I don't know. Even though I think you're both older than me. Fuck you guys. Without Sting, WCW may not have dominated the Monday Night Wars the way they did. The man basically didn't wrestle a match for a full fucking year. It was like their biggest face. Like, how is that possible? But the Crow Sting thing goes down as one of the greatest gimmicks of all time. And yeah, his WWE run was absolute garbage juice. His TNA run was really good. And I know we don't count TNA that much, or else Russell would have had Kurt Angle a little higher. But Sting really helped legitimize TNA during their high points. He helped in making Samoa Joe and AJ Styles even bigger stars. And now they've gone on to, well, AJ's gone on to bigger and better things. Samoa Joe, I don't know what happened to him. He may be lost. But Sting was like, I don't know, he was the Ultimate Warrior if the Ultimate Warrior would have had a career. You know, that's all. Like, the Warrior was so popular, but then his career just fizzled out. Sting, his career never really fizzled out. He was around for about 15 years, and I still think there was money to be made in WWE, but for whatever reason, it just didn't happen, and then Russ's boy had to kill him, so that happened. Number 9, we got HBK. Him along with Bret, very good tag teams in the late 80s, early 90s. Sean kind of followed in Bret's steps, and Bret even put Sean over at WrestleMania 12. Sean then went on to be one of the greatest douchebags in wrestling history for the next 2 years, got hurt in a casket match, was out 4.5 years. That was my hard point with Sean. He was out for 4.5 years. But then he came back, and he was actually better in ring than he was prior to that. He put on some of the greatest matches, and for everything Russ wanted to say about Foley, Russ failed to mention Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker at WrestleMania 25 and 26 as possibly two of the all-time 20 greatest matches. So yeah, Shawn's getting on the fucking list. Number 8, Edge. Since Russ took all my good stuff about Edge, I hate him. I will say this. I was there the night Edge retired, and it was sad as hell. They brought out a lot of people, and it was actually the first time I got to see Triple H's current jacked-up Triple H, time to play the game Triple H, and that was awesome, but I was still really, really sad. Edge is one of those guys that, he had so many title runs. He is possibly the greatest tag team wrestler of all time, and then he went on to win, what, like 11 world championships. He did reinvent himself quite a few times. He took a page, not that page, but a page out of Jericho's playlist and reinvented himself a couple of times. He won Hulk Hogan's only tag team championship. That's something. That's pretty fucking cool. And really, Edge's numbers would be even better had he not had the career suffering injury. Like, he would probably be in the same discussion as John Cena as far as titles go, except he would have a larger number of the lower card titles. All in all, also great song. Same goes for HBK. That's why HBK also got over Bret. Better song, let's face it. Number 7, Ric Flair. I did a lot of research. That number 16 is completely invalid. It's much higher than that, but he only gets credit for 16 for some reason. Lots of fuckery. I highly recommend people looking it up. When a company needed a heel to go over, or they needed a face to be made, they called upon Ric Flair. There's a reason why at every Hall of Fame, like, probably 75% of the Hall of Fame speeches mention Ric Flair as the greatest match they ever had, the greatest wrestler they ever saw. Because they were there. Like, we were kind of there, but we saw a lot of the shittiness. But Ric Flair really was great. And yes, we're only talking about post-WrestleMania, but Rick only had 3 title runs prior to Mania. So the vast majority of his stuff did come after WrestleMania. It's just that really, we weren't watching in 1986, for instance. We weren't paying attention. We weren't there watching when Ric Flair made Sting. And Flair, he helped make goddamn fucking Batista and Randy Orton. That was cool as shit. He helped make AA Arn Anderson, who is still one of the all-time greats. He helped make the Crippler Chris Benoit, which is also fucking phenomenal. So, Ric Flair, he was like the guy that was sometimes almost too nice and he put over too many people. He was the opposite of Hogan and Triple H. Like, he put over a lot of people at his own expense, but he got the titles. So, I don't know. Flair could have been like number 2. He could have been number 10. I don't know. 7 felt right. Jericho, you guys covered Jericho. He... the all-time leader in Intercontinental Championship wins. He may be 2nd all-time in titles to Edge. I don't know. I don't have numbers to back that up, but I'm thinking that's a fairly good guess based on all the tag team and mid-card plus world titles. Jericho was a star in ECW. He just never got enough time in ECW. So then he went to WCW, and he became a star. He was the man of 1,004 holds. One of the greatest angles in wrestling history was him and Malenko. Then his debut was breathtaking. I mean, honestly, if anybody watched it, it was fucking breathtaking. That promo, that whole countdown with him and Rock, fucking amazing. The fact that he's still going, giving us high caliber matches 20 years later, amazing. I actually started off with Jericho at number 10, and I moved him up to 6. Number 5, Austin. He was made on a fluke because of the click fuckery. He got the ball and he ran with it. And he became the 2nd most all-time popular wrestling figure. That's cool as shit. I have nothing but love for Austin. His WrestleMania runs, not the most legendary thing. Him versus Bret Hart, though, one of the all-time great matches. I'd say the biggest thing for Austin is... there was a time frame for about 3 years where you couldn't go anywhere in public without seeing a Austin 316 shirt or a Fock Fear drink beer shirt. And without Austin, we wouldn't be able to say when we hear the glass, it's Eric shaving men's ass. All of these things really, really count and helped him get to number 5. His feud with Savio Vega also was really good. And Austin had little problem with putting people over unless your name was Brock Lesnar. But that was a whole other thing. Number 4, John Cena. He's going to rise. Let's face it, he's not retiring over the next year. He's still going to possibly go higher. But for right now, 4 seems about right. As of August of 2015, he had 500 Make-A-Wish. I looked that up while Russ was talking. So he could be 550s by now. Wouldn't surprise many. His movie career could hold him back, though, and keep him at number 4. Could hold him down, pull him lower, I don't know. Right now, he's Mr. Consistency, he gets hurt, he comes back, you know, in a third of the time he's supposed to. He's the most reliable guy Vince McMahon has ever had to work with. John Cena will never put a bad taste in advertisers' mouths. He's the perfect company man. And that is really, really important. He's improved in the ring, and he's willing to put people over lately. I mean, Rusev and Bray are a little pissed about it, but, I mean, as of late, it's okay. Number 3, Triple H. Russ covered all of Triple H, the burial and all that stuff. But without Triple H, Austin doesn't happen because if the click thing doesn't happen, Triple H wins King of the Ring. Austin doesn't become Austin 316. Triple H runs with it and WWF dies. Think about that. Like, Triple H is pretty fucking important to the past, the present, and the future. Like, he's one of those guys that really has his finger on the button at all fucking eras. Austin doesn't become Austin without Triple H getting fucked over. Triple H was handed the keys to DX. They added the New Age Outlaws and X-Pac. And they ran with it. They fucking ran with it, and they helped win the Attitude Era. Then came heel Triple H. Then came Evolution Triple H. Between him and Flair, once again, Orton and Batista, two of the biggest names for a span of like 5 years. That's huge. Without Flair and Triple H, we don't have Batista and Orton in the same caliber that we did. Triple H continues to have matches, although they're long and boring and tedious at this point, but he can still go, which is cool. But right now his impact's in NXT. That's been covered. Number two, and who Steve would have had as number one, is Hulk Hogan. I went back and forth on this, but at the end of the day, Hogan did main event 9 WrestleManias in a row. He then also main evented the one with him versus The Rock. Although it wasn't technically a main event, anybody that watched the show knows that was the main event of the show. Great night. Problem with Hogan is the transition between always wanting more money, quitting, holding the company hostage for more money. Reading his Wikipedia page, it's actually fucking depressing and makes you angry and makes you want to punch a brother. Alright? But without Hogan, we don't have wrestling. Without Hogan, WrestleMania probably dies. Without Hogan, WCW never rises to fame. Hulk Hogan's still the single greatest heel turn in all of wrestling history. He somehow went from being the babyface of all babyfaces to the most hated guy and still remained relevant as fuck for almost 20 years. It's really impressive. And he helped with TNA getting them even further ahead. He also helped plummet them to bankruptcy, but he did help both pros and cons, and that's the story of Hogan. Great heights, really deep lows. But without him, we don't have what we have today. That's just a fact. He's the single most influential guy on any of our lists. That's it. Number one, Taker. Anybody that knows me knew Taker was going to be number one. There's no surprise there. The streak. The fact that the man could carry any freaking rivalry against any freaking slack-jawed yokel, don't matter how talented, great Khali, I'm looking at you, and still make it interesting. He didn't need the belt. He was rewarded the belt a handful of times, and he did good with it. Hell, Hulk Hogan jobbed for Taker back in 1991, and I mean, that says something, because Hogan wasn't jobbing to nobody back then. Taker is the single most athletic big man that we had seen up till probably the past like 3 years, and now we're starting to see more athletic big men. But prior to that, there was only one guy that moved like that. That was Undertaker. Without Taker, once again, we don't have WWE the same way. He was the conscience, and he was the locker room leader. Which goes to say, you have never ever heard a single interview where somebody's bad-mouthed Undertaker. You've heard interviews where every single guy on this list, aside from maybe like Jericho, has probably been bad-mouthed to some extent. Maybe not Sting. But everybody else has been bad-mouthed at some point. Undertaker, no. He had the respect of every single person in the room, and there's never going to be another one like him. There's my top 10.
Very, very interesting, sir. We had a lot more similar ones than I thought we would.
We had like 4 or 5, yeah.
I was shocked by that. I'm surprised. So my question is, I'm surprised Flair was your 7. I would have thought he'd be a little bit higher for you, and not the exact same spot I was. So I was a little bit shocked by that. So why did he get dropped to 7 for you?
My biggest issue with Flair was my lack of knowledge and having seen enough Flair matches, especially by the time I got around to really watching and appreciating Ric Flair. He was maybe in his prime or a little bit past his prime. He wasn't no longer wrestling those 45, 60-minute matches. I didn't get to see Flair at his greatest peak, so that's why I said he could be number 10, he could be number 2 on the list. I just didn't know where to place him, so going by what I've seen, that I felt it was... I felt number 7 or 6 or whatever was fair to Flair.
It's funny, because that's exactly what I thought, too. I was like, he definitely deserves top 10, but for me personally, he's never... You know, I never watched any of his great matches. So it was tough for me, but you never hear anybody really... You always hear Flair's name or hear something about Flair. So obviously he deserves it. And 7 felt like right. 7 felt right to me. That's like 7 good.
Plus he's also kind of a douchebag.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I mean, people always credit him for being a great wrestler, but I mean, he's every bit a douchebag as Hogan and Triple H were. Absolutely. So, I mean, him and Foley, I mean, let's not forget, he called Foley a glorified stuntman, and I don't even remember who else he ripped on. Yeah, Flair was kind of a dick.
Yep.
And if there was ever reason to lower him, it was due to Charlotte being born.
Ah, Charlotte.
Ouch. That was just mean. So
David Flair was cool as shit, though.
Aw. So I have a general question now that I've listened to your list, and actually I had a question for myself why I didn't put some of these guys on, but you know what I noticed that was missing from your list and even Russ's list was some of the other names from Hogan's era, like Andre the Giant and Savage.
Savage.
Well, the problem with Giant for me was most of his career was pre-Mania, so there was nothing I could do for him.
That's the whole argument against Andre. He was already past his prime when he put Hogan over at WrestleMania 3.
Right.
He was dead by WrestleMania 8?
Yeah, I think so. I was going to say 8.
So he just didn't have the longevity in the feel, in the era that we are specifically focusing on. All time, Andre may crack a top 10 list, quite frankly.
For Savage? That's tough, because we loved Savage. He was a dick. I think my problem is he was a dick just as much as Hogan was. But at least, I don't know. It just doesn't. He doesn't feel like a top 10 to me.
Savage never had the title reigns, first of all, and his title reigns usually came because of Hulk Hogan. That's the other thing. Hogan's influence over the whole wrestling business. When Big Show finally retires, maybe his influence finally goes away. Hogan's influence has run rampant for. Ever now, because of who Hogan chose to put over from here, you know, he helped get Macho Man going. He helped Big Show. He helped Taker. Him and Triple H, when there was the Unified Championship or whatever, the one that Jericho won, it went from Jericho to Triple H to Taker and then Hogan, I think. Like, Savage also had drug issues. He was a little fucking... He was crazy. Not in a bad way, but I don't know if you've ever heard any of the interviews where wrestlers will be like, yeah, Savage called me up at like 3 a.m. and he wanted to run through like what our match was going to be the next day. Yeah. Like, he was fucking neurotic as fuck, and I'm not holding that against him. It actually added to the coolness and intensity of him. But it's still a little crazy, and then how everything ended... But in all fairness, he did have the greatest rap album of all time.
Mm-hmm. What was I going to ask you? Now, I didn't know you... Edge retired in Albany?
Yeah. His final night was in Albany. It was a SmackDown.
That's interesting, because he began his career basically in Albany. Not began it there, but that's where he got his name, and then...
Yeah, he got his name because I believe it was Cyrus from ECW, the Jackal, who he was in WWF as the Jackal with the Oddities, or no, the Truth Commission, whatever.
The Jackal, yes.
He's the one that suggested the name Edge to him. And... Another cool tie that Edge has to us locally is he won his first WWE Heavyweight Championship in Albany at No Way Out in 2000, we'll say 7-5, I don't
Somewhere
know.
Someplace
in that vicinity, cashing in the first ever Money in the Bank, because he was the first ever winner, and cashing in against John Cena after an Elimination Chamber match. It's just fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we read pretty good. Like I said, I was shocked. Like, at first when I started doing this, like I said, I had Austin at number one. But then I threw him back down to number five because... And it was the reason of holding people back. We didn't mention this. One of the reasons is he literally left WWE when he was wrestling in the biggest dick-headed move, period. And he deserved... And he knows, and he looks back at it and he knows. He knows he fucked up. But, I mean, that was pretty douchey of him. And that really hurts him for me, too.
In all fairness, though, we're talking about the Brock Lesnar instance,
yes, I'm sure.
That was just as much on creative as anybody else. And we never blame creative, but creative, had they never come up with the stupid fucking idea to put an unestablished guy over Austin, your hottest face at the time, in a throwaway Monday Night Raw, Austin probably doesn't lose his shit, tell them to go fuck themselves.
Probably.
Austin gets all the blame for it, but the reality is creative should have known better. And yet here we are tonight, and I'm sure at some point one of us will say creative should know better. Like, maybe with Alexa Bliss.
Yes, creative does not know better. I think we've established that one. All right. Yeah.
I was surprised nobody had Roman Reigns.
Well,
what are you guys thinking?
That was actually a question I wanted to ask you guys. Why didn't we put no one current on these lists? I mean, I guess I should be asking myself the same question, but I mean...
We had Jericho.
Okay, fair enough, but...
And Triple H.
What about, say, I don't know, AJ Styles?
Well, I think the problem is they... While they may be eventually for a top 10, right now all they're doing is trying to establish themselves. AJ is starting to get into that little bit of a mode of establishing other guys a little bit, but they're still establishing themselves. Like, Roman Reigns is definitely establishing himself. He has to work every night to establish himself. AJ, while he has basically made himself now, he's still at the peak of his career. Once he starts to take a little bit of a dive and he starts to get other guys and put them over and stuff, then we might start seeing him get mentioned in the top 10, maybe. Maybe. He is fantastic. You don't think he'll ever make a top 10, Kent?
I'm hard-pressed to even consider AJ Styles top 25.
And I love AJ.
I know.
I'm the only person here that's watched AJ for the vast majority of his career because I actually watched TNA for however fucking long. So I can vouch, AJ is a hell of an in-ring guy. The problem is his huge tenure in TNA really hurts him on an all-time scale because he wasn't known by the general population. He never... Yeah, okay, him and Samoa Joe and Loki had great matches. Who gives a fuck? Nobody, because nobody was there watching it, so therefore, it just doesn't matter. It's kind of like us putting somebody who's in Ring of Honor right now. You know, did anybody... Well, in all fairness, nobody said CM Punk or Daniel Bryan. Why? Because the vast majority of their tenure was spent in the indies doing great indie work.
And their career...
They're never sniffing top 10. Right, but they're not... Like, still, like, maybe top 25. You maybe get those guys involved, but... Top 10, top 15 is like this fucking glory hole of all gloriousness that Bobby Roode would love to stick his dick into someday.
Now that I think about it, you mentioned how you chose these guys. It's kind of similar to what I did. What I did was, I just wanted to point this out how I did this. I chose my top 13, and then I said their name, and then I put it up against every other person on my list to see where I placed them. I wanted to know if you guys had something similar to that, because that's the only way I could do this. Because I went and I started with, so I said, I couldn't really choose between the top 10. So I started at 9. I said, okay, Chris Jericho. And then I said the next name of the next wrestler on the list. And I go, all right. So Chris Jericho against Edge. I was like, oh, that's close. I don't know. Okay, Chris Jericho, Ric Flair. Nope, Ric Flair. Chris Jericho, Rock. Again, close, but I would still say Rock. And I did that with every single person to try to get them in their list. What did you guys do to try to get your list going?
I went with Hogan and kind of worked my way down. Like, with that, as I said before when I was going over why I picked Hogan as number one, we wouldn't even be having this conversation right now if it wasn't for him.
Absolutely. Totally understandable.
And then I went, well, Undertaker because streak. There's no other wrestler who has been more dominant in the past, what, 30 years than him?
Absolutely.
And we probably won't ever see it. Like, that's the other thing. We won't see that ever again. Like, I don't think we're ever going to see anybody go 20-0 in WrestleMania. As a matter of fact, they seem to try to cut people's balls off at, like, one or two wins, give you that loss, and then you can go from there. But they're never letting anybody get close to that record,
His forever. You're right. That's hard to produce anyway. 20-0? Come on. Like,
so be in the business for that long? Yeah. I mean, that's impressive enough.
Yeah. So that right there is... I think that streak is more precious than any title will ever be. And they fucked it up.
It was the greatest single rub that they could have given to any single person in the history of wrestling.
And they completely fucked it up.
Which I'm actually surprised nobody mentioned Brock Lesnar.
My problem with Brock is right now his current problem. That's my problem. He's a part-time wrestler, and he doesn't want to do anything else but be a part-time wrestler, so fuck him. Top 25, all right, he's in there. But
yeah, his current attitude towards the business kind of tarnishes any conversation of, you know, even top 15, in my mind.
All right, I got a question for both of you, and Carrie, normally I would start with you, but this is more Russ' question because of his hard-on for him. Russ, where is Kurt Angle on your spectrum?
15.
Because you haven't mentioned him.
15. He was right at 15 for me because, and you're right, I have a huge hard-on for Kurt Angle. I really, really wanted to put him in the top 10. But when I put his name up against these other guys, I was just like, I can't.
I had Kurt over Foley.
Really? Kurt, I'm telling you, Kurt, Foley, Brett, HBK, they're all interchangeable to me. Like, I could have put them in any spots. But, like, Kurt, just to me, whenever I put his name up there, it hurts him because a lot of his good work was in TNA, and I didn't see it. So,
it was a 50-50 for his career, yeah.
So, that was my tough part. And one of the things that almost put me over to put him in for number 10 was that picture we got with him. I still have. But
as do I.
I just, it almost did it for me. I was like, I didn't really watch him in TNA, and it would be really, really disservice to the other guys. So I dropped him.
I have one final question. I know we got to get to like other shit, but one final thing Russ was asking about, you know, how we came up with the list. And to that, I will say, I put tag team and mid-card championships into my thought process, and I didn't hear a lot of that from either of you, so I'm wondering how much of a role tag team or mid-card titles mattered. Carrie, I'm looking your way.
Just looking at my notes for my picks, when I had Edge in my top 10, that was one of my factors. I mean, he is one of the greatest tag team wrestlers of all time.
I would probably say he is the greatest tag team wrestler. I agree with Ken on that one.
And I mean, for the ones that I pick, I picked a lot of singles wrestlers. And had I looked maybe deeper into tag teams, maybe I would include that. But I mean, just the way my picks ran, that's why I didn't really include that information.
Well, for me, Kent, I did include it into my information, and that's why Edge, Jericho are both high up in there, or in the top 10, because they had some great runs at the middle round. But once you get out of that, I mean, it's really tough to call anybody else who was a mid-carder that could really be that effective in wrestling. I'm trying to think of anybody who just like kind of stuck in the mid-card for a long time but was still awesome. And the only person I can really kind of, I can't think of who it is now. I had it, and now I can't think of who it is. Who was in the mid-card forever and just never got a chance to get out?
Mr. Perfect.
There we go, really perfect. I knew it was someone. I was like, perfect. Perfect.
Rick Rude's another one.
Yeah, like, just never got out of that mid-card section, and they're great and fantastic, but I can't put them over the other guys. That's my problem.
I agree. It's tough. It was just an additional factor for me. Like, I couldn't put a lifer mid-carder. For instance, I couldn't put Ted DiBiase, no matter how good he is. I couldn't put him. But simultaneously, I did want to... I thought about it. If I was going to start a wrestling federation, I could choose any of these guys from the past 33 years, where would I go? And yeah, you need a mid-card. You need a tag scene. And That stuff all kind of swam through my head. So
this was actually, oh, I was gonna say, this was actually good. A fun thing to do when I was doing it. I just, because at first I was kind of dreading it, because I was like, I just got done writing the blog, I got so much work to do. But then I started doing it during SmackDown, and I was just like, this is actually kind of fun. I went back, looked at some history. I honestly had to remember, like, I didn't remember exactly what the pay per view was for the it was the first ladder match ever for tag team, for the whatever it was. Was it for $100,000 or something like that? I don't remember anymore.
Wasn't it for the services of Terry Runnels?
For Terry Runnels. Yeah. yeah, holy crap, I forgot all about that. But that's what I'm saying. Like that,
as you should have. It was a terrible story, but a great match.
Great match. And that's what I remember. I was just like, this was stupid. Why is this such a great match? And then it was my first, truly holy shit match. And it was just funny remembering it. I'm like, oh my God, it was that long ago. And I just came out thinking like, holy crap, that was my first holy shit match. And it was fun remembering it. I was like, yeah, I remember that. I think I watched it with you and Eric. Probably. I remember very little, but I remember I loved the match. Like that's where I kind of fell in love with wrestling. That match right there. That's where I was like, okay, I can see myself loving this for the rest of my life. So this was fun. I like this. We should do something like this again at 92.
All right. Well, we should probably get to our other stuff because
We're killing time here.
Agree. Okay. Well, there you have it, listeners. So, guys, let's go ahead. We got a pay-per-view this weekend, Extreme Rules. Let's go ahead and preview this thing, shall we? Let's start with the first match. We got Sasha Banks and Rich Swann versus Alicia Fox and Noam Dar. I'm going to go with Alicia Fox and Noam Dar only because every time Alicia wins, Sasha just gets that much more pissed. Kent, who you got?
I want to say Alicia and Noam, but I can't handle Noam's haircut at the moment. It's really bothering me, and I like everything else to do with Noam, but I can't get past his hair. And then there's a part of me, as much as I love Alicia, I really feel bad for Rich Swann. With that being said, I think it's going to be a woman who gets the pinfall. So if I'm focusing strictly on women, I'm going to go with Alicia Fox. I want Rich Swann to have a really good outing.
And Russ?
Kind of similar to what the Kat was thinking. I kind of want Alicia Fox and Noam to win this thing. But yeah, I really want Rich Swann. He needs a win. And I think he's going to get the pin on Noam. So I'm going to go with Rich Swann and Sasha, but Noam's going to eat the pin. So, and I like how you used, can you handle it, Kat?
Can you handle
it? You couldn't handle it.
No. I miss Rich Swann being... Like, I liked Rich Swann's run as champion, but it didn't last long enough.
And he is so goddamn charismatic. Holy shit. Like, I mean,
that's a whole rant for some other point, like, especially when we get talking about a cruiserweight match, but it's a rant I have.
Well, since we're talking about cruiserweights, let's go ahead and preview the cruiserweight championship match. We got Neville versus Austin Aries, take 5,000,002. My pick is Neville, and I really hope this is the end of this, because as I said in the blog, I'm bored. Russ, who you got?
All right, so I'm not bored because I love Austin Aries and I love Neville. They've been produced great matches, so I'm not really bored with it. I am sick that they keep on running the same damn thing. They needed to do something after the second match they had. They needed to drop Neville down to the bottom of the card and have him work, or not Neville, I'm sorry, Austin down to the bottom of the card and work his way back up to become the champion he deserves to be. Austin Aries is probably the best guy they have right now in the cruiserweights. It's debatable, but I'm going to say he's one of the top three easily. And my biggest problem right now is that it's the fourth time in a row. At this point, if he doesn't win it, they've lost the magic. They should have held this off. They should have pushed Austin back down or made him go against TJ or something, and not had him go against Neville until SummerSlam. That was the I don't know how they screwed this up. It makes no sense to me. They had the perfect opportunity to drop Austin, make Neville that total jerkwad that nobody likes, and just now it's like, okay, if Austin doesn't win it here, does he deserve another chance? So I have to go with Austin. I can't see him losing this time.
Kent?
Honestly, I'm starting to really feel like I was right in saying that Austin should have never got back in the ring.
They have Samoa Joe'd the shit out of him. They have somehow made Austin Aries boring for me, despite being the greatest cruiserweight that they have. Neville being a close second, and I don't even know who's number three. I really don't. It could be Swan, it could be Kendrick, it could be a lot of people, but I mean, they're 1 and 1A. Yeah. But, no, I'm bored with it. I don't even want to see the match. That was one of the few matches I was looking forward to at WrestleMania. I don't care anymore. This story's done for me. Neville needs to win, somebody needs to console Aries needs a heel turn, and whatever. Austin Aries as a face doesn't work for
no,
me.
No, it is tough to like him as a face, but his matches are always good, so I'm never really a problem with him being in his matches. Just, you're right, they screwed this up big time. That, for me, they screwed this up, and now we're all paying for it.
Speaking of things we are paying for, let's talk the Raw Women's Championship. Let's talk Alexa Bliss versus Bayley, a kendo stick on a pole match, I believe. I'm going with Alexa Bliss. I want this to be the end. I just want to see her and maybe Nia face off finally. I don't know. So I'm going with Alexa.
That.
I know, and I'm so pissed off about it too.
Me too.
I was starting to like Nia. I really liked the dynamic those two had. It was a good thing. And of course, anytime there's a good thing, Raw ruins it. So with that being said, again, I pick Alexa. Kent, who you got?
You know, speaking of Nia, I don't know if anybody saw the tweet that she had about how SmackDown does stuff with women's wrestling. It was a great little burn on her behalf, and she's right for doing it.
So wait, what'd she do? I didn't see it.
Just look on Raja and look for Nia Jax. You'll find the tweet.
She
congratulated SmackDown for doing something with women's wrestling. Ooh. Basically.
And basically burned, like, said, fuck you, Raw.
Yeah, because Raw started off with such a cool idea and really didn't run with it, unfortunately. The way to get this match more interest for me and everybody else is to make it a kendo stick on a pole match where the winner has to pull the loser's pants down and spank them with the cane. Now all of a sudden,
people are
no longer getting up to take a piss during that match. People are suddenly sitting in their seats, possibly with their hands down their pants. I don't know. I'm just saying. Bayley has looked like a bitch this whole month.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. And yet she's favored to lose. Alexa's favored to win this. I don't get it. WWE never does this without some kind of redemption.
I think what I... Okay, well, when it's my turn, I'll tell you why I think the redemption comes in.
I think Alexa's winning only because Nia's going to interfere. That's all. And spanking.
And Russ.
Okay, I think where Bayley's going to get her redemption is she's getting the kendo stick. Because remember, they specifically have said, if you get the kendo stick, then you're the only one who's legally allowed to use it. Which means I think Bayley's going to get it. I think Bayley's going to beat the crap out of Alexa for a little bit, but Alexa's overall going to win this, and she's going to keep her belt. Either that, Bayley's going to win it, but it's going to be a DQ because something happens. Either Nia or Alexa uses the kendo stick when she's not supposed to.
So, no spanking.
Oh, and spanking. Hot, hot spanking.
HLA. All right.
All right. Now back to some maybe PG fun. Maybe.
I don't know, Carrie. You just said all right as well, so you're clearly...
You're in for it.
I said all right in a way to actually change the subject. Let's talk tag team, shall we? Hardy Boys versus Cesaro. The build to this, and I've said this before, almost week after week, where I don't believe Cesaro is going to win this thing. they just haven't been booked strong to me. I'm going with the Hardys. Russ, who are you picking?
Oh, I think the whole reason why they've been booked so poorly is because it makes no sense if they don't win. So I'm definitely going with Cesaro and Sheamus. Or Cesaro and Sheamus as Cesaro. If they don't win, then they need to break up immediately because it makes zero sense to this booking if they lose. I would be floored, like, what the fuck is going on? So I think they're winning. I think the Hardys are done with it. I think the Hardys are going to move on to something different. I don't know what it's going to be at this point, but I think they're moving on to something different. So give me Cesaro as our new tag team champions.
And Kent.
Wow, how are we talking about tag teams and Brad Maddox's name hasn't been brought up yet? I think Brad Maddox returns for this match, and we may even get to see
the stick on this one.
I don't know if that's what you call kendo stick, but yeah, some stick. Anyway, yeah, I think Brad Maddox is going to return, become manager of Cesaro because neither one are good on the mic, and then Paige is going to return on behalf of the Hardy Boys, and she's going to be broken. Mainly because Alberto beat her after seeing the sex tape.
I was going to say she was broken because of Xavier Woods. Wood.
She could be broken by the wood, yes. God damn, I just don't care anymore. And here's the worst part. Here's the worst part is you have to, in order to predict this match properly, you have to think, where do they go from here? Are they going with Enzo and Cass have their own storyline? The Revival are soon to be back. Are they moving on from this rivalry, or is it go another month? I fear it goes another month, so I'm going with Cesaro.
Well, that's good.
Fuck the Hardys. Yeah.
Well, they'll have to go for another month just to, because Cesaro gets it, so.
Holy shit, there's a horse out there instead. We may need to beat it. We
definitely have to beat it.
Well, speaking of beating a dead horse, let's talk about the feud that seems to never end. Let's talk about the Intercontinental title match. Let's talk about Dean Ambrose versus The Miz. You know, I'd like to see The Miz win this one. I really would. I think he does great things for that belt, and it's about time he got it back. Russ, what do you think?
If you read my blog post on 9deuce.com/wrestling, I almost said blog, I state that I think they have a great opportunity here, which means it's never going to happen, but I'm gonna mention it here anyway. I think what's going to happen is this. The reason they gave us Elias Samson versus Dean and a couple weeks ago was to establish during this match, some point, Maryse is going to get sent to the back because Maryse is going to try to interfere and attack The Miz to DQ him, or to DQ Dean, so The Miz wins his belt. But then the ref's going to catch her and go, get out of here. And at that point, that's when Dean's really going to take over, and Jericho's going to be in a lot of trouble. Or not Jericho, wow. The Miz is going to be in a lot of trouble. And then for a while, it's going to be all Dean, and then finally The Miz will do something to get a little breather for both of them. And then we're going to start hearing music playing. And someone's going to walk down to the ring known as Elias. He's going to go down there. The guys are going to both look at him. And Elias is going to hit The Miz with his guitar. And hitting The Miz with the guitar gives The Miz the belt. And The Miz will win. And Elias will have immediate mid-card status. He will have immediate beefs with both guys. And it would be fantastic if that was the way it's going. But because that makes so much sense and it sounds awesome, it's not happening. So, but I still say The Miz is going to win it somehow.
I know that prediction really tickles Kent's fancy. So, Kent, what are your thoughts on that in the match?
I don't know. I tuned Russ out once I heard that Scorpion was going to be the ref. I don't know how they're getting a character from Mortal Kombat, but according to Russ, we're getting Scorpion. Great.
I said get out of here, not get over here.
Yeah, in the same voice as Scorpion would say it, don't fucking try to conflict the interest of our viewers, okay? God! I don't know.
Miz needs something to do. The thing is, Drifter made a mention towards the Miz in his song. I don't think the feud's over. I just think they're adding another dynamic to it because WWE doesn't like kill a feud off for months and months and months. Because, I mean, if you think about it, we have, what, 2 original matches this whole pay-per-view? Everything else we've seen. The Sasha match and the first ever match that we'll talk about shortly. Everything else we've already seen. Yeah. I don't know. Have Dean retain and have Samson piss off the Miz. That'll be something different.
Fair enough. So let's go ahead and move on to that other original match that you mentioned.
Wait. Historic.
Historic.
And first time
ever. All right. So this historic and first time ever. Fatal.
Are we talking about the women's Money in the Bank match?
No, we're talking about the Fatal 5-Way Universal Number 1 Contender match.
Universal. Oh, well, you said historic, so I just wasn't sure. There's so much history being made.
They're throwing that word around a lot the past couple weeks. So, let's talk Number 1 Contenders match. We have Bray Wyatt, Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, Samoa Joe, and Roman Reigns in this match. I have to say, my pick has changed for this match ever since it was announced. I started with Samoa Joe, then I went to Finn. Now, I am throwing my support behind Bray Wyatt. I say Bray Wyatt wins the Number 1 Contenders match on Sunday. Kent, who you got?
I had Finn all along. And then today I read what the Vegas betting odds are, and Samoa Joe has a 64% chance of winning. This is not the smart money yet, so this is just early, which means that they're going to change that. So anybody who's predicting Samoa Joe, get a fucking haircut. It's not going to be him, because they always change their mind after they see this stuff. Knowing that, and it's not going to be Roman Reigns. These are two things we know. I am going to pick with the man who likes to injure people more than anybody else, the freaking architect, Seth Rollins.
I thought you were
going to
say Finn.
Oh, wait, my bad. Well, shit. Actually, I think both of them are winning.
There's a possibility.
That's my prediction. Seth and Finn get a double pin of some kind.
Oh, and controversy ensues.
SummerSlam will have a interesting main event, perhaps.
I thought kind of the same thing Kent was going for with a weird we don't know who really won, and then they're gonna have some kind of controversy going on. But I'm gonna go with Seth too, only because I've heard so many times that Seth is gonna get this one, and then get destroyed by Brock, obviously. But this was a tough one to call. I can tell you right now who's not going to win. Roman Reigns. I can tell you who else is not going to win. Samoa Joe goes... Samoa Joe.
Joe is going to kill... I mean, lose to you.
Bray, okay, he has a definite possibility. I don't think so. And then Finn or Seth are my two top choices. I'm going to go with Seth on this one, just because I've heard a lot of rumors that they have plans for this Seth and Brock stuff. So,
I'll publicly state right now, if Bray fucking wins this, that means immediate burial, which means I will not watch the next Raw.
Wow.
That's my fucking guarantee. I will not fucking watch the Monday's Raw if Bray wins it, because I'm going to be so mad.
Now, wait, is this for Great Balls of Fire, right? This isn't for a SummerSlam main event.
Who really fucking
knows?
Well,
because it's going to be Brock Lesnar versus Braun at SummerSlam.
Who's saying that Braun's going to be ready and medically cleared? Like, I find this
I don't know. I've heard he's only barely injured.
Silly.
I heard he's barely injured, so I don't know.
I heard it's kind of an Emma situation where they kind of misdiagnosed how long he was going to be out.
Is he coming soon?
Possibly.
He's for him. Coming soon. And he won't be finished with us.
Yet. I guess a quick question for you guys. Wouldn't storyline-wise, since Brock is supposedly supposed to face Braun at SummerSlam, wouldn't it make sense storyline-wise for Reigns to win on Sunday?
No.
Nobody would see it coming.
True, but
I think they're going to change their mind on this whole Roman versus Brock thing before WrestleMania.
I hope so.
I think Bray's getting in the Mania match.
The way they treat Bray, I highly doubt.
And what way do they treat Bray? They gave him a House of Horrors match, Russ.
It was fantastic.
And at WrestleMania, they put lights in the ring and gave us insects. Who else has been treated better?
You're right.
Who?
You're right.
I ask
you're right.
Who?
Who? You're right. Never mind. I withdraw my question, sir.
That man held the belt for a month, goddammit, and you're trying to tell me he's going to be held down? Fuck you, sir. Okay?
Oh my god, Jinder Mahal will almost hold it as longer than Bray, I think. That just dawned on me.
How much do you think Bray really, really wishes he was not drafted to Raw right now?
Oh, my god. Yeah, he's probably... Does that mean he's going to be really pissed off at AJ?
I don't think AJ had enough clout, but he's probably jealous of AJ right now.
I was going to say, the reason was they didn't want to turn AJ over. They were scared. And so, you're right, I don't think AJ had the clout to do it, but man, I'd be so like, fuck, they like AJ more than they like me. I don't want to go to Raw. Fuck.
So, guys, let's go ahead and move on to the namesake segment of our show, guys. Were you not entertained? So, listeners, this week we have selected the women's fatal five-way beatdown and resulting women's... I'm sorry, let me rephrase this. Historical first time ever women's Money in the Bank announcement segment. And all I have to say about this segment was I was very entertained by the beatdown. I thought parts of it were just awesome. Some parts made me kind of cringe. I mean, seriously, guys, how many times do you need to wipe stuff off a table before you put someone through it? I'm looking at you, Charlotte, Natty, and Tamina. Also, I'm really looking forward to the Women's Money in the Bank match. It's really a long time coming. With that said, Kent, what say you?
I say that there's a white box on your screen that asks a very poignant question. But to answer your first question, it is in relation to the Women's Money in the Bank match, and my god, do I give zero fucks. Here's the thing. I got so mad over how many months about Raw women getting everything, but really, if you wanted to watch one brand's women's division have the Money in the Bank match, I think we would all safely agree that it would be Raw, right? Like, we'd rather see the Raw one, because the SmackDown women just really... But yet, right now, I care more about SmackDown women. Why? Because of creative. Was I entertained? I'll be more entertained if Emma Lana debuts. So, I'm going to say not entertained as much as I wanted to be. Mainly because I'm sick of seeing Charlotte. God!
And Russ?
I'm going to say overall, yes, I was entertained. The beatdown was really good. I thought they did some really neat stuff that you don't get to see very often. But I don't... I'll give this. Becky looked really good. Let's give credit to Becky. I thought Charlotte looked pretty good, too. She looked dominant, so I'll give Charlotte some credit there. And overall, not too bad. Tamina actually kind of... Tamina really got a decent showing, too. My problem is this. You're right. I'd rather see Raw's girls. I mean, not that I care about either of them. Besides, get this historic first-time crap off of SmackDown, okay? Keep it on Raw and keep it on... Destroy Raw. I don't care about that. Don't destroy SmackDown. But... What didn't entertain me was this. Shane McMahon coming out, like, nothing was happening down there. Like, he just came out and did his little thing, his little entrance, and walked down, slapped a few hands. These women are beating the hell out of each other before a match that was basically ruined on your show, and you're coming down all happy-wappy. What? That doesn't make any sense. You're supposed to have a number one contendership match. Wouldn't you be pissed if they ruined your show because they couldn't get along for a few minutes? It was really weird. So that was odd to me. So, other than that, yeah, I was kind of...
What's wappy?
I don't know. I was trying to ride something with happy, and I couldn't think of a word, so I said wappy.
That's pretty crappy.
It's crappy.
Wow. You know, it's not crappy. Our next segment. So let's go ahead and discuss what we are looking forward to next week in our segment, I'm Not Finished With You Yet. I know I'm looking forward to the fallout from Extreme Rules. Russ, how about you?
Well, I am also looking forward to the fallout from Extreme Rules. I want to see how they're going to bore me next with the number one contender.
And Kent?
I guess Amelana?
I'm curious to see what Corey Graves does next week I do watch Raw, because that motherfucker was interesting. He was by far the MVP of this week for
me. He was.
So.
And kudos to bring him back into it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he was not a bad wrestler, and he clearly has the mic talent, so it's a really good use.
Yeah.
Wow, I just said really good and Raw. Am I going to hell?
Or hell froze over, one of the two.
I just looked at the weather. It's a little chilly down there. But yeah, Raw, good. Those words don't go together. With that being said, though, guys, I guess before we say goodbye to our listeners for another week, let's go ahead and close our show with our favorite game, shall we? Yes, listeners, it's time for Guess the Wrestler. So this week, Kent has chosen a wrestler. And as always, the rules for Guess the Wrestler are one of us picks the wrestler, and the others get to ask 9 questions and have 2 guesses to figure out who the wrestler is that was picked. Kent?
Yes. You want to know current or former? So I will say current. And it is a male.
What brand?
Raw.
Has he held championships? And which ones?
Well, not going to give you that specific of an answer.
Okay, just because he held on championships then.
Yes.
Okay.
Multiple ones.
Okay.
Is he mainly known for singles wrestling or tag team?
Singles.
Has this wrestler been around for a really long time, or just kind of recent?
Give me a year.
Last over 10 years. Has he been there for over 10 years?
Has he been wrestling for over 10 years?
In WWE. Like, he's been the main kind of stay in WWE.
Let me look. You said over 10 years? Yeah. No.
Okay.
Any catchphrases we should be aware of?
You could say that, but it's nothing that you would ever sit there and recite. Like, you've heard him say it a few times, but it's... I don't think it's really what you would consider much of a catchphrase. It's just something, like, he's apt to say in a promo.
Okay. So he gives promos. So he's on the show a lot.
It's kind of like, you know how, like, CM Punk would say he's best in the world, but it really wasn't much of a catchphrase.
Right.
But it was always part of the promo.
Right. Okay. Mostly known for singles. He's on Raw. Hasn't been there for too long. has he had any like notable feuds? Like, wow, yes, holy crap, we would know. Obviously, don't have to give the feud person because I feel like if it's current, we'd kind of give it away. So, just tell me, has he had any really notable feuds recently?
Notable, yes. Yes, I would say it was very notable.
Okay.
Has he recently come back from injury?
How recent is recent?
Past 6 months.
I would say that, yeah, seems about right.
I think Carrie knows. Has he fought for the WWE Universal Championship? Or the Red Belt, since we don't call it the Universal.
I'm really thinking here, but it's such a small group of individuals that have really gone for it, especially since Brock has won it. I'm going to say I don't think so.
Okay. Uh-oh. Carrie's out of it now.
I have no idea.
Well, this is your last question, so somebody make it count.
Oh, man. Because that's what kind of was going for. I was like, ooh, injuries. Maybe that'll really narrow it down. And you narrowed us out of it, so now I'm not sure. Carrie, you got a question?
I'm thinking. All if you right. got one, go for it.
I don't have a question quite yet, but I'm... man, 6 months injury? I don't even know who's injured now anymore, so who was injured?
And that alone is actually debatable. Like, I'm really not sure about the timeline of the injury.
It was, but it's been relatively recent, right, is what you're saying?
Once you know who it is, you'll understand why I'm not sure.
Right, okay. All right, I do have a question. Does he have a match in this pay-per-view?
At Extreme Rules?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. There we go. We got him down.
So that narrows it down to about 20 possible individuals.
Exactly. Now I'm just trying to think of who those 20 bastards could be. All right, I got my guess.
Go for it.
Austin Aries.
Correct.
Woo!
I have no idea when he was legitimately healthy, so I have no idea.
You know what got it for me? And I'm glad I asked the question. The Universal title question and the injury. That put it together for me. I just wanted to make sure it was him, so I kind of asked the Elimination Chamber match question. Or Extreme Rules question.
Yeah, and like the quotable thing is like, he always does the whole A double thing, and you're not A double level, but it's not really a catchphrase. And then him versus Neville's been a notable rivalry, absolutely, to say the fucking least.
Yeah, no, it was a good one. That was really good because I wasn't 100% positive until the last question, so that was good.
Yeah.
I was kind of waiting for somebody to ask me if he'd been in a different organization, but that didn't come surprisingly.
Once you went current wrestler, we were all like, okay, WWE.
Yeah. Tunnel vision.
Yeah. And that's why I asked the question of over 10 years, because originally I thought you were going to go for Goldust or R-Truth.
Yeah. Oh, well. I say we close this out, right, guys? So with that being said, I guess it's time for us to sign out and say goodbye to our listeners. Please check out our blog at 9news.com/wrestling, on Facebook at 9newsblog, and on Instagram, Tumblr, and Twitter at official9news. Or you can just reach out to us the old-fashioned way by email at wrestling@9news.com. Kent, any other announcements our listeners should know about before we... say goodbye?
We just had a new Nightmare blog come out a day or two ago. Next Friday, there's going to be an Orange is the New Black retrospective blog.
This weekend's preview and review of Extreme Rules.
Yeah. Feel the excitement. And we got Babadook coming up on the 15th of June. And I hate this month. Just throwing this out there. June is my least favorite month of the year. So I think that's the extent of my announcements.
Well, listeners, go and check those out as well. And with that, for Russ, Kent, and myself, we say goodnight and we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys! Or everyone!
Night, y'all.
You know what really grinds my gears? What? Going a whole episode and not being asked to do my own segment, despite everybody else getting their own segment. So, yeah, happy 50th anniversary. Are you not entertained?
I'm sorry. I should have asked you what was grinding your gears.
Well, now that.